Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, October 2nd, 2019. Coming up this hour,
stocks fall around the world following the S&P 500's biggest drop in 5 weeks.
Investors await a key economic reading following yesterday's disappointing manufacturing data.
UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson is set to issue an ultimatum to the European Union.
President Trump says what is taking place is not an impeachment, it is a coup. Plus, Democrats and Secretary of State Pompeo joust. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower on sports. Thrilling win for the Washington Nationals. They beat Milwaukee to advance to the National League playoffs. Tampa Bay and Oakland play the American League wildcard game tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures are lower this morning. S&P futures down about 14 points. Dow futures down 114. NASDAQ futures down 45. The DAX in Germany is down 1%. The CAC in Paris and FTSE 100 down 1.4%. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.5%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 1.63%. 3%, yield on the two-year 1.53%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 8 cents at $53.71 a barrel. COMEX gold little change down 60 cents at $14.88.40 an ounce. The euro 1.0907 against the dollar. Yen 107.65. Nathan.
Karen, the decline in stocks around the world comes after the S&P 500 kicked off the fourth quarter with its biggest decline in more than 5 weeks. The drop came after notably weaker than forecast U.S. manufacturing data, and that is fueling fears of an impending global slowdown. Klaus Botter is global chief economist at Societe Generale.
The risk at the moment, of course, is that the weakness in the manufacturing sector, and this is not only true in the U.S., this is certainly true in Europe and other places as well, that weakness in manufacturing is going to push the whole economy into recession, or at least into a serious slowdown. I don't think we're quite there yet, and as I said, fiscal policy will play an important role.
And Fed fund futures are now indicating a 61% chance of a Fed rate cut at the end of this month. Bloomberg Terminal customers can get all the latest Fed rate move projections by typing in WIRPGO on the Bloomberg.
First Deputy Managing Director David Lipton says the International Monetary Fund expects a more significant global slowdown than it did 3 months ago. We get that story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Lipton added, it is difficult to see an economic recovery if the trade uncertainty continues. He was speaking in Berlin alongside German Chancellor Angela Merkel and the heads of other international economic organizations, and he said, quote, we see the global economy going through a gradual synchronized slowdown. He went on to say, unless the trade tensions are diffused, it's, quote, very hard to see mainstream macroeconomic tools countering the impact of escalating trade difficulties, so it's very important that those be de-escalated. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. And we get another reading on the health of the U.S. economy in just over 3 hours when payroll provider ADP issues its September employment report. Economists are forecasting a slowdown in hiring, looking for a gain of 140,000 jobs. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
ADP's prior report showed businesses added 195,000 jobs in August, the most since April. But Bloomberg Economics notes factories have cut hiring and other sectors could soon be affected. Transportation and warehousing, for example. Here's something to mull over. ISM issued its monthly factory report for September on Tuesday, and its barometer of factory employment dropped at the lowest since January 2016. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thank you. The drop in U.S. stocks spilled into Asia overnight, and Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has the recap from Singapore.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. China and India markets were closed for public holidays, but the Nikkei 225 closed lower by 0.5% in Japan to 21,778 points, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong retreated after resuming trade a day after violent protests in the city. Banking stocks in Australia weighed on the ASX 200 after the federal government lashed out at the nation's lenders for failing to pass on the RBA's rate cut in full. A missile launch from North Korea saw South Korea's Kospi and the won retreat, although so-called record peace stocks rose in Seoul ahead of expected working-level denuclearization talks between Pyongyang and Washington Saturday. Elsewhere, the yen traded in a tight range while Japan's government bonds rose across maturities following Tuesday's sell-off. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thanks. In the UK, Boris Johnson sends his Brexit plan to the EU today with the usual warning that he is ready and willing to opt for a hard exit. Let's get the very latest live from Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Caroline Hepker. Caroline, good morning.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Boris Johnson's idea seems to involve a way around the so-called Irish border backstop, the most contentious issue in the deal agreed by his predecessor, Theresa May. Northern Ireland would have special customs arrangements applying to the Irish border, which would last for about 4 years, essentially kicking the problem down the road. Johnson's office says that he'll present a fair and reasonable compromise offer to the EU, and he wants it settled by the 11th of October. The Irish Deputy Prime Minister Coveney has already said the plan does not look like the basis for a deal. The arguments about the Irish border are well worn. The question is if anyone, with days to go, will compromise. Live in London, I'm Caroline Hepker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Caroline, thank you. A change at the top of the UK's biggest retailer. Tesco CEO Dave Lewis will step down next summer. He'll be succeeded by the chief commercial officer at Walgreens Boots Alliance, Ken Murphy. Lewis joined Tesco in 2014 in the wake of an accounting scandal. Since then, he's leveraged the company's position as grocery market leader to boost profits.
U.S. auto sales took a big step back in September. Results were disastrous for leading Asian automakers Toyota and Honda. They both suffered double-digit declines that were worse than analysts anticipated. While a fuller picture will emerge today when General Motors and Ford report, the poor performance suggests that overall deliveries of cars and light trucks could come in worse than the 12% drop anticipated by analysts.
Bridgewater Associates' Ray Dalio says preliminary discussions on limiting U.S. investments in China make him wonder if the Trump administration is inching toward bigger moves. In a new essay posted on LinkedIn, the billionaire founder of the world's biggest hedge fund points to the U.S. freezing Japanese assets and embargoing oil to Japan in the late 1930s to early 1940s as a potential example of how special emergency powers could be used by the president. Futures this morning are lower and straight ahead. Ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael. All right, we will check back in with Michael in the minutes ahead here. First, let's get a look at sports at 5:07, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, one game to decide the National League wild card winner, and one moment decided the one game. The Brewers led 3-1. They were four outs from victory. The Nationals, in the bottom of the eighth inning, had the bases loaded, two out. And Juan Soto faced Josh Hader, and it was the greatest moment in Washington Nationals history.
The kick, here it comes. Swing and a line drive.
If a hit by Soto tied the game, the error by 22-year-old Milwaukee rookie Trent Grisham allowed the Nats to take the lead, and they won 4-3. It's the first time they've ever advanced in a postseason. Now they're in the NLDS, which they've been in four times previously. They've gone 0-4, and they'll be heavy underdogs as they start the series with the Dodgers tomorrow night in L.A. That's after the Cardinals face the Braves in Atlanta. Tonight in Oakland, it's Sean Manaea against Charlie Morton. A's and Rays, two low payroll teams in the AL wildcard game for the right to then play Houston. Yankees worked out at the stadium. We'll do so again today ahead of Friday night's game one with Minnesota. Aaron Boone yet to announce his starting pitching plans, but most expect him to start James Paxton in the opener. WNBA Finals, Connecticut Sun won in Washington to tie the best of five series at one. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks for that. Now 5:09 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here now with the latest world and national news. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nation. Accusations and warnings are flying in the impeachment inquiry. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said the Democrats are trying to intimidate and bully career officials as he sought to delay their appearances before House committees. Democrats warned that blocking congressional access to impeachment witnesses could itself be an impeachable offense. The State Department's Inspector General is set to hold congressional briefings today on Ukraine. Democratic Representative Jamie Raskin is a member of the House Oversight Committee and expects to be in the closed-door briefing.
It appears to be in response to the letter that Secretary Pompeo sent to Congress, and that letter intimates that he thinks that he has some kind of protective privilege blanket that he can draw down over all of the documents that we are requesting, and he appears to think that he can stop the witnesses from coming in to testify.
Meanwhile, President Trump tweeted last night that what is taking place is not an impeachment, it is a coup. Expect a heavy barrage of campaign ads accusing Democrats of trying to steal the 2020 election. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports the Republican war chest is suddenly overflowing.
It is a presidential campaign fundraising record, declaring President Trump has built a juggernaut of a campaign. Re-election officials in the Republican National Committee say they've amassed $125 million in the third quarter of the year and aim to use the haul to fight off impeachment. By comparison, former President Barack Obama and the DNC raised just over $70 million in the third quarter of 2011. RNC Chairwoman Rona McDaniel credits Democratic attacks on Trump for motivating supporters to dig so deeply into their wallets and says the GOP will saturate the air waves to counter what she calls their obstruction. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Hong Kong's police commissioner is defending an officer's use of live ammunition during an anti-government protest, saying the officer was under attack. Today, hundreds of college students went on strike in Hong Kong to condemn the police shooting of the 18-year-old classmate. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, much appreciated, Michael. Thanks. S&P futures are lower by 13.5 points right now. Dow futures down 117 points, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 42 points. 10-year is unchanged. The yield 1.63%. 2-year treasury yield 1.53%. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen, they solve, they do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are lower in Europe and Asia, along with U.S. stock index futures, as investors await further clues on the health of the world's biggest economy. After miserable manufacturing numbers roiled markets yesterday, the dollar is advancing. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 12 points. Dow futures down 105. NASDAQ futures down 38. The DAX in Germany is down 0.9%. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 1.63%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.53%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.25% or 13 cents at $53.75 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% on $1.60 to $14.87.40 an ounce. The euro 1.0911 against the dollar. British pound 1.2238. And the yen at 107.68. Today we are watching for a report on private payrolls at 8:15 Wall Street time. And we're also looking for earnings from companies including Lennar. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. House Democrats issued a stark warning to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo after the top U.S. diplomat accused lawmakers of intimidating and bullying State Department officials by calling them for depositions related to the Ukraine inquiry. In a letter, the chairman of the House Intelligence, Foreign Affairs, and Oversight Committees told Pompeo that any effort to prevent those officials from speaking to Congress is illegal and will constitute evidence of obstruction of the impeachment inquiry. Meanwhile, President Trump tweeted last night, "This isn't an impeachment, it's a coup." In the NL wild card game in baseball, the Nationals won in a dramatic come-from-behind win against the Brewers 4-3. Washington now faces the Dodgers in their divisional series on Thursday. Tonight, the A's play the Rays in the AL wild card game. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 519 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Ben Emmons joins us now, Managing Director of Global Macro Strategy at Medley Global Advisors. Tough start to the quarter, Ben, if you're long equities. How concerned are you about this slump in manufacturing?
Yeah, good morning, and thank you very much for having us. That is definitely concerning, right, because it's a global phenomenon. We don't only have this in the United States, this slowdown, but more protracted slowdown in major developed economies when it comes to the manufacturing sector, and it looks very similar as what we went through a few years ago in 2015-16, and with the potential of in some cases, that there will be recession in certain countries, let's say in Germany or now South Korea, what it looks like too. But that said, the number yesterday, I think, surprised the market really because of its weakness during a month when there was actually no trade tension really. So it does look like the survey indicates that the manufacturers see just more weakness ahead as a result of previous trade measures that were taken and therefore more slowdown ahead.
Now, up to now, the equity markets have managed to shrug off signs of slowdown in the economy. Could it do so this time?
It could, because of always the opportunity to reinvest at better levels, and people have dealing with extremely low interest rates, and therefore the opportunity is in equity is always there. But I think on the other hand is that we're dealing with a significant amount of uncertainty. Starting again this month, right, we have the trade talks that resume, but there's by no means any certainty there will be a breakthrough or a trade deal for that matter. And we deal again with a looming government shutdown in November with all the impeachment inquiry around that. The markets are definitely tense, I think. And we're also having a year end in general where the liquidity becomes an issue. So I do think we're going to get into somewhat choppier waters over the next few weeks.
So where do you see opportunity at this point, though?
Well, you know, it's interesting that despite that the trade war has hit globally certain regions quite hard, there's also where the value is being created as we speak, right? So in some of the areas in Asia, for example, in Korea, but in other areas too there, or even in Europe, whenever you get this real economic slowdown, the value comes to surface, right? So some of those equity markets look at to be trading at really low multiples that are interesting because of ultimately, there will be recovery coming, you know, by next year or so. Just by nature, that supply and demand will find some sort of equilibrium and recovery happens. So there's value in some of the trade war hit areas.
Do you see signs of overcrowding in any of those value plays?
No, not yet, because there's where people, I think, have reallocated away from to other safer markets, right? Like, I think one reason why the equity markets have had a strong year so far is because of the defensive sectors in the equity space that have done so well. And if you then have held also government bonds in your portfolio too, then you have a pretty good return this year. And that's a very defensive posture. So I think there's no overcrowding in the areas where the value is being created as we speak. And therefore, there could be opportunity to reallocate again once, you know, the recovery becomes more clear there.
What's your outlook for the trade talks coming up next week? Are you looking for any possibility of even a short-term breakthrough?
So I've been pretty skeptical about the short-term breakthrough. For one, because President Trump himself has been very clear about that he doesn't really look for such a, say, partial deal. But that having said, that you know, there's obviously intention on both sides to get to the next stage in the conversation. Right? They try to, of course, get to some sort of agreement where all the structural issues are one way or the other addressed, then it appeases both sides and they can come to a deal. It's in the interest of both China and the United States. But as we have learned, you know, there's also an economic aspect of this. In other words, there's a very much of a view on the administration side that we're much stronger than China currently, right, as an economy, and therefore have time to sit out this negotiation, even though the financial markets are pretty uncertain about the trade talks going forward and could cause more volatility if it doesn't really progress the way it has or what the president in particular likes to see as progression. So I'm skeptical in the sense that there will be a breakthrough, but it is good to see that they're resuming the talks and it isn't frozen. I think that was one important aspect of the change that we had back in August, that we're resuming the talks. So let's see what happens. My guess is that there will be ongoing negotiation that's going to continue into next year.
Ben Evans, thanks for this, as always. Ben Evans is a Managing Director for Global Macro Strategy at Medley Global Advisors. And after the biggest dip for the S&P 500 in more than 5 weeks to begin the quarter, futures are pointing to more losses now. S&P futures are lower by about 0.5% now, 16.5 points. Dow futures lower by 146 points, and NASDAQ futures down 51 points. Straight ahead, we look ahead to the latest read on U.S. employment, plus a fuller check of the markets and all the latest in business, economics, and finance. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the new Range Rover Evoque, designed to open your eyes to the possibilities of what's right in your own neighborhood. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for the new Range Rover Evoque. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Eisner Amper. Taxes are one of the certainties of life, but what worked for corporate taxpayers in the past may not work today. Eisner Amper can help. Visit EisnerAmper.com/tax certainty.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date in the news you need to know at this hour. We are seeing further declines in stocks around the world this morning. Yesterday, the S&P 500 kicked off the fourth quarter with its biggest decline since August. The culprit, weaker than expected manufacturing data. Klaus Bader is the global chief economist at Societe Generale.
You know, the whole U.S. trade policy, if that's what you want to call it, should support the U.S. economy and support manufacturing, employment, and output in the United States. But, of course, it's not happening. What we're seeing is a really deepness right across the world in the manufacturing sector. Global trade is in outright recession. It's declined three quarters in a row.
And we will get another snapshot of the health of the U.S. economy at 8:15 a.m. Wall Street time. Payroll provider ADP will issue its September employment report.
General Motors and Ford report U.S. auto sales today. Yesterday, Toyota and Honda both suffered double-digit declines that were worse than analysts anticipated.
Germany's five leading research institutes slashed their forecast for economic growth. They predict gross domestic product will expand by 1.1% in 2020. In April, they're expected to grow 1.8%.
UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson is poised to issue an ultimatum to the European Union. Negotiate Brexit on his terms within the next 9 days or face a no-deal divorce.
In the end, a country has to be able to govern its customs. If you're going to come out of the EU, you've got to run your own trade policy, you've got to run your own customs. And so we have to find a way of doing that. Okay. I won't deny that this is the tough bit.
Johnson addresses his Conservative Party's annual conference in Manchester, England, less than 90 minutes from now.
Tesco chief executive David Lewis is stepping down next summer from UK's largest retailer and be succeeded by a surprise choice, Walgreens Boots Alliance's Ken Murphy.
And Johnson & Johnson's agreed to pay more than $20 million to avoid the first federal trial in which it faced accusations of helping fuel the opioid epidemic by mishandling its painkillers.
S&P futures are lower this morning, down 18 points. Dow futures down 164. NASDAQ futures down 56. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.62%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.52%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.1% or 6 cents at $53.68 a barrel. The euro, 1.0913 against the dollar. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has a check on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Donald Trump ratcheted up his attacks on lawmakers pursuing a whistleblower complaint. More from Bloomberg's Mark Mills.
In a Tuesday evening tweet, Trump said, "As I learn more and more each day, I'm coming to the conclusion that what is taking place is not an impeachment, it is a coup. The tweet marked the seventh time this year that he's tweeted that he's been the subject of a coup attempt, but the first since a scandal erupted over his interactions with Ukraine's president. Meanwhile, three House committee chairmen jousted with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who moved to restrict testimony from State Department officials who've dealt with Ukraine. The committee chairs responded by saying any attempt to prevent department officials from speaking to Congress is illegal and will constitute evidence of obstruction. Mark Mills, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The same jury that convicted a white Dallas police officer in the fatal shooting of her black neighbor will soon return to court to consider her sentence. Amber Geiger, who said she mistook Botham Jean's apartment for her own, was convicted of murder. His mother, Allison Jean, was called to the stand to describe her loss. She says her son would have turned 28 years old this week.
I cannot sleep. I cannot eat. It's just been the most terrible time for me.
Geiger could face anywhere from 5 years to life in prison. A day after resigning from the House, ex-New York Congressman Chris Collins pleaded guilty yesterday to charges stemming from a 2017 insider trading case. U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Berman spoke outside federal court in Manhattan.
No one is above the law. And it is because of our office's commitment to and pursuit of that ideal that Collins is now a convicted felon and no longer a member of Congress.
Prosecutors say while attending the congressional picnic at the White House in 2017, Collins received an email that an experimental multiple sclerosis drug developed by an Australian company had proven to be a clinical failure. The next morning, Collins' son began dumping his shares. Dressed in black, schoolmates of a teenage demonstrator shot in the chest by a Hong Kong riot officer condemned police tactics and demanded accountability. The shooting during the widespread anti-government protest demonstrations on China's National Day marked a fearsome escalation in Hong Kong's protest violence. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up to 5:36 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the baseball postseason kicked off in Washington. Milwaukee's Yasmani Grandal had a two-run homer off Max Scherzer, and the Brewers had two runs before Scherzer had an out. Eric Thames, a solo shot in the second, but the Brewers didn't score again against the Nats. Two aces, Scherzer and then Steven Strasburg. And in the bottom of the eighth inning, Washington got to Milwaukee closer Josh Hader. A hit batsman, a broken bat single, a walk, and a two-out, three-on Juan Soto base hit that would have tied the game. An error by Milwaukee's rookie right fielder Trent Grisham allowed a third run to score. The Nationals, who've had a history of postseason disappointment, with a come-from-behind 4-3 victory, their manager, Davey Martinez.
They don't quit until the 27th out is recorded. And honestly, for me, I kind of got used to it. And, you know, we're sitting there and nobody ever thought we were ever done until that last out was. It really, I mean, the dugout was fired up. The guys were fired up. Michael gets hit. And I bet simultaneously, 10 guys screamed, "Here we go." And that's all it took.
Off to the NLDS. The A's and Rays play the AL wildcard game tonight in Oakland. The Yankees and Twins start Friday night at the stadium. Giants cut two wideouts. Benny Fowler, who was third on the team in catches, and T.J. Jones, who had been returning kicks. It's because Golden Tate is back from his four-game PED suspension.
I try to keep myself busy just to take my mind off of it. Sundays were tough for me. I was in a bad mood on Sunday, just, you know, from the start of the day. I couldn't find the game because I'm on the West Coast. They weren't showing the game, so I had to find out somewhere streaming and start it off. And then I'm just sitting there looking like I should be out there. I'm supposed to be out there, so it was tough.
Giants go for three straight wins Sunday. They host Minnesota. With Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on McDonald's investment in big data. Also in this week's issue, how President Trump's trade war doesn't end with China. Sean Donnan wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
We've seen Japan start the process of finalizing a deal with the Trump administration that will allow the U.S. to sell a lot of agricultural exports to Japan. We've also seen countries like Vietnam start to come in the firing line. Even Australia, where the president has complained about a surge in aluminum exports and so on. No one's immune.
And you can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week on newsstands now and online at businessweek.com. Terminal customers can subscribe at MAG Go, and you can listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street, time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Nathan. Manhattan apartment prices fell the most they have in more than 8 years. Previously owned condos and co-ops sold for a median price of about $915,000 in the third quarter, down 8% from a year earlier, according to appraiser Miller Samuel and brokerage Douglas Elliman Real Estate. Data from the Census Bureau and the mayor's office indicates the number of people living below the poverty line in New York City fell 3.6% between 2013 and 2018, when it stood at 17.3%. It's the lowest rate since the 1970s. The number of children living in poverty fell 6%. Well, all of one of Connecticut's congressional delegation is worried about Anthem's decision to terminate some doctors from its health network. CT News Junkie reports the lawmakers have asked for more information about how many providers have been terminated and why the providers were chosen. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thanks, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WoWo in Fort Wayne. Subaru's sales streak ends after 93 months of gains.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, we're reporting on a Johnson & Johnson $20 million opioid deal to settle marketing claims.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for Wham 1180 in Rochester, New York, we're watching for earnings from Paychex.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the Brexit plans Boris Johnson is laying out in his speech at the Conservative Conference in Manchester.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting the United Auto Workers Union says the General Motors strike is far from settled.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. We're also watching corporate earnings. We get results from six companies in the S&P 500 this week, including Costco and PepsiCo. Bloomberg customers can check the earnings calendar on the terminal by typing ACDR Go. This is Bloomberg. The Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by MBAF CPAs and Advisors, dedicated to solving complex tax and accounting challenges, identifying opportunities, and helping businesses maximize profits. Learn more at MBAFCPA.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Cameron Moscow. Stocks are slumping in Europe. U.S. stock index futures are retreating along with Asian shares as miserable manufacturing data from the world's largest economy continues to reverberate around markets. The dollar is advancing, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about 20 points this morning. Dow futures down 176 and NASDAQ futures down 62. The DAX in Germany is down 1.25%. CAC in Paris down 1.6%. And the FTSE 100 down 1.7%. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.5%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.62%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.52%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.25% or 13 cents at $53.74 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed, up 70 cents at $14.89.70 an ounce. The euro 1.0914 against the dollar, British pound 1.2234, and the yen 107.63. And today we are watching for a report on private payrolls out at 8:15 Wall Street time. And we're also looking for earnings from companies including Lennar. And we're watching shares of Twitter this morning down about 0.9%. Twitter said it is investigating outages across Twitter and TweetDeck, and service should be back to normal soon. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. House Democrats issued a stark warning to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. The top U.S. diplomat accused lawmakers of intimidating and bullying State Department officials by calling them for depositions related to the Ukraine inquiry. In a letter sent yesterday afternoon, the chairman of the House Intelligence, Foreign Affairs, and Oversight Committees told Pompeo that any effort to prevent those officials from speaking to Congress, quote, is illegal and will constitute evidence of obstruction of the impeachment inquiry. Meanwhile, President Trump tweeted last night, as I learn more and more each day, I'm coming to the conclusion that what is taking place is not an impeachment, it is a coup. North Korea fired what appeared to be a ballistic missile designed for submarines just hours after agreeing to restart stalled nuclear talks with the U.S. Vaping deaths have spiked nationwide. At least 16 people have now died of vaping-related illnesses. In baseball's NL wildcard game, the Nationals won in a dramatic come-from-behind win against the Brewers, 4-3. Washington now faces the Dodgers in their divisional series on Thursday. Tonight, the A's play the Rays in the AL wildcard game. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Opinion, informed perspectives, and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news.
We're coming up to 5:50 on Wall Street, and it is time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. Columnist Lionel Laurent joins us from our London bureau with his latest piece, taking a look at how hedge funds are playing Brexit. First off, of course, Lionel, we are awaiting Prime Minister Boris Johnson's announcement of his final offer to the European Union. What are we expecting it to be, and how do you think it'll be received in Brussels?
So he calls it a final offer, but I have to say it doesn't look either final or much of an offer based on what the press reports have already been leaking. So apparently, before even discussing it, he is going to propose essentially what he calls two borders for 4 years, a customs border between Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland, and a regulatory border between the UK and the EU. Now, this all sounds very complicated, but you just have to imagine this is a huge sensitive sticking point for the EU and the UK because they are trying to preserve peace in Northern Ireland, a return to a hard border, and the protection of the single market. Already, Johnson's offer does not fit those, and already we've had Ireland come out and say it would not accept this before even the offer is made.
So then does this raise the risk even further of no deal Brexit?
It does and it doesn't, because this is only one part of the whole puzzle that is Brexit. This is not just a negotiation between two sides. There are other parties involved. The fact is, Johnson does not have a majority in his own parliament. The parliament is opposed to a no-deal Brexit and is doing everything it can to force Johnson to change his own lines to avoid a no-deal, to seek an extension. And the EU knows this. All of the countries, they will get together and discuss this proposal, but they will also know that it's coming from a government that is effectively weak, that does not have a lot of political authority. So there's other things that need to be considered.
Such as?
Well, just the fact that if we imagine this is a demand for a concession from the EU, what is the cost of caving? Because what the EU would essentially say is that it's going to sacrifice Ireland, what Ireland wants, for what the UK wants. If you make that concession, it might not get through the UK Parliament, and if you lose those concessions, then you will never get them back.
I want to turn to your piece this morning about how hedge funds are playing Brexit. And you point out in it that former Chancellor of the Exchequer, Philip Hammonds, accused Johnson of being in thrall to speculators who could take advantage of no deal. What's his argument? Does he have a point?
So there is not much of an argument aside from just pointing out that there are people who give money to Johnson and the Conservative Party who also seem to be have short trades on the pound and the UK market. I think it's a bit of a kind of back to front, upside down argument, because today the whole world can see what's happened with Brexit. The whole world wants to short the pound. I don't really see much evidence of some kind of huge conspiracy. But on the other hand, I think it's pretty clear that the people backing Johnson today are a small section of wealthy elites who would be better off, who might be better protected than a lot of other British people in the event of a no-deal Brexit, because it would likely introduce a whole new low-tax, Singapore-style, low-regulation economy that they might profit from.
So they're looking forward, potentially, to the possibility of no-deal, you're saying?
Some are open about it. honestly, there are plenty of, whether it's entrepreneurs or financiers, who are saying, look, the prospect of a no-deal Brexit does not worry us. And the reasons are that, frankly, their businesses have been doing okay. A weak pound would be a boost to their particular export business. And being free of high tax burden and high regulation burden would be good for them. I just think it's a very small section of the population that would make in that argument. And I think that is the kind of optical issue. That's the problem for the Conservatives in this story.
So does that argument then raise the prospect of further widening of the gap between the haves and have-nots in the United Kingdom?
Absolutely. If there is a no deal Brexit, which let's be honest, there is a sizable support in the UK for that, but nowhere near a majority. All of the forecasts show that the UK would be worse off. The economy would be worse off, and the plans that are being put or taken down from the shelf to totally overhaul the economy to accommodate that, I think definitely point to a rise in inequality.
Bloomberg opinion columnist Lionel Laurent with us from Paris. Thank you for this, Lionel. Much appreciated. And you can read Lionel's column. It's called How the Hedge Funds Are Really Playing Brexit and More from Bloomberg Opinion. Just head to Bloomberg.com/opinion or on the Bloomberg terminal. You can find everything from our columnists at OPIN Go. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 5:55 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It is brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute resolved faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Georgia's ban on abortions once a fetal heartbeat is detected won't go into effect as scheduled on January 1st after a federal judge temporarily blocked it. U.S. District Judge Steve Jones found the law in direct conflict with U.S. Supreme Court precedent. San Jose, California, formerly became the largest city in the U.S. to ban natural gas in new construction. The vote still needs approval by the State Energy Commission. And an Illinois appeals court has struck down a constitutional challenge to Chicago's so-called Netflix tax. Chicago had been one of the few cities to tax streaming services.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
It is 5:56 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker.
The manufacturing sector has been slowing and even slipped into contraction, but you never know it by looking at small business payroll figures. Frank Fiorella is vice president at Paychex, serving small businesses.
In our portfolio, it's a very, very small representative. Ours is very high, concentrated on the consumer and services sectors. So, you know, as you know, the consumer still remains very, very strong. And even, you know, business confidence is actually a little bit lower than it's been over the past few months, but still historically at strong levels.
The Paychex IHS Small Business Employment Watch indicated job growth increased in September, along with hourly and weekly earnings growth. It remains to be seen if small firms can remain immune to a manufacturing slowdown. Some economists say it's only a matter of time before there is a spillover. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. S&P futures are down about 18 points. Dow futures down 160. NASDAQ futures down 54. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 1.62%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.52%. 30-year yield at 2.08%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 1/3% or 20 cents at $53.82 a barrel. COMEX gold up almost 0.1%, up $1.10 to $14.90 an ounce. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.